We're in 2 Timothy, and we're going to just be reading a few verses, beginning at verse 3, 4, 5, 6, and I'll read 7, but we're not going to get to it. So are you there? Page 9, was it 995, I think, in your black Bibles, if you need to turn there, 995. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and of self-control." Amen? That's awesome. All right, let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for new beginnings this morning. Lord, we thank you for a wonderful time of prayer, Lord, and ministering to your heart through prayer. Lord, I just bless every class, Lord, of the children, Lord, those teachers, those that have headed up these workshops, Lord. We thank you for them, Lord, all of the volunteers, all of the work that has gone into today and beyond. Lord, for Bob and for Dave and Karen, we bless them. And Lord, for our time this morning, opening up of your word, Lord, we recognize we alone can't we can't understand these words without your Holy Spirit. So help us to wrestle with it, to grasp it, Lord. And help us to know how deep and how wide and how measureless your love is for us. Hallelujah. So Lord, it's to you now that we look. Amen. 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 You can be seated now. I guess that's just to stretch your legs a bit. Do you have one of these in your bulletin? Did you get a flyer here of some prayer points? Do you have that with you? You also have notes for today, which we'll look at in a moment, but I want to draw your attention to the flyer, the half sheet that has City View on top. Every one of you should have received one in your bulletin. I shared several weeks ago concerning Nehemiah and the relevancy that it brings to us here in this place at this time and in this season, in terms of bringing vision, bringing people together, and amassing the resources to complete what he's given us. And as we saw in Nehemiah, he went into prayer when he heard of the condition of Jerusalem and of the city of God and being in destruction and in disrepair, and things weren't quite up to where they needed to be. He went into prayer for about 4 months or so, about 120 days or so, and then the work began. He had an opportunity to go to the king and then get permission to do the work, which, again, I think, was it 52 days it took to do the work? So he spent four months in prayer, and it only took 52 days to do the work. And I said, significant for us here at City View, as we're coming into September, we're now in September. Oh, my goodness. We're approaching about 120 days, about 4 months to the end of the year. And I felt very strongly a call to us to enter into prayer as a congregation in fasting. Some of you have taken that challenge and have just dove in God in fasting, and whether it's a meal, whether it's weeks, whether it's days, however God is leading you to give up a meal, a food, other areas, but also to bring us together in a concentrated prayer. You can pray whatever you want, really, but here's four things to add to your list. As you're praying, praying for unity of the body at City View Church as well as the church across York County. True unity, real unity, spirit-led unity, authentic unity. And we have a scripture out of Colossians. Then we have also where all of these actually are from Colossians, and I included the scripture so that you had those and highlighted. This is kind of a relevant area of it. We're praying for one another, the unity in this body as well as the body of Christ. Then we're praying that each of us, we're praying for our brothers and sisters here, that we would know God's will, that we each would be fruitful in our ministry, the ministry that he's given each of us, and then be strengthened in our inner man through intimacy with God. And then we're praying that God would open doors of evangelism, that he'd open up the door for his word to go forth. And we declare it clearly and without hindrance. And that can happen without words, but it does happen with words too. Okay, our lives would be a declaration of his truth. And then we're praying in agreement with one another, for each other, that we pray to speak only blessings into people's lives and to speak evil of no one. That's a good prayer, isn't it? How we need that. Lord, let my speech, and Lord, I pray that, Lord, the speech of everyone in this house would be seasoned with grace. That's what we're doing. Okay? So now you have it. It's a little bit sturdy paper. It has more of an official feel to it. It fits on your fridge, and you know what? It fits right in your Bible. It fits wherever you pray. Put it before yourself every day, and through prayer we'll come into unity. Let the Spirit do it. Let's not all try and be on the same page and believe exactly the same things about everything. It's not going to happen. It's only through His Spirit and prayer. So that's the purpose of this. If you'd like, you can get that that message, that CD, or else I believe it's probably on the website as well, if you want to go back and revisit that and the relevancy of it. Amen. So now I draw your attention to this sheet of paper. We began beginning of the year in the studies of the pastoral epistles, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus, Paul's letters to the pastors, to the churches. And we've been learning about the nature of this thing that we love and we hate at the same time, if you're honest. It's just the realness of it. So now we are entering into 2 Timothy today, and with it, good things in store. Follow along if you'd like. A lot of our life groups, we're using these as patterns and outlines to discuss. So hopefully this isn't the last time you hear it. But by way of introduction, or actually review, I want to look at just really what's going on here. In Acts chapter 16, we read of Timothy being converted by Paul in Lystra. Paul led Timothy to the Lord. Thus, all of the phrases in of my spiritual son, my son, they had a special relationship, but Paul actually led him to the Lord in Lystra. Timothy, who's physically frail, we read that throughout this. Had a, a weak disposition, maybe take a little wine for your stomach. He's naturally timid Timothy. And he really began to be Paul's protege. And he was charged with the pastoral ministries at the church of Ephesus. And we talked very early on, if you remember, very early on, Ephesus was a booming port town. But I don't know that Timothy was really wild about being left there. Perhaps it wasn't a place he would have chose for himself. But it's here that Paul's planted him, and he's been faithful to it. And Paul is near the end of his life. He doesn't know exactly when he's going to die, but 2 Timothy is the final letter we have from him. These are literally his last words that you read in this book. So as we go through, it should have a weight to it. Here's a man speaking for the last time. And his words will carry a weight to them. The thread that will run through this in everything that we talk about for the next few weeks is this. Paul's so concerned that the message of this gospel, that the torch is passed on, that the torch doesn't get dropped and the fire goes out, that this thing that was started has to continue. And that's a man approaching the twilight of his life. The things that are important are the legacy. It's so timely, the message that Rich has and what God has given him for the men's retreat, living the legacy. And that's Paul's heart through all of this to his son. As we read for 2 Timothy, as I read it, I noticed a few things in the very early verses. First of all, he talks about remembering a lot. I remember you constantly. I remember your tears when we said goodbye. When we had to say goodbye, I remember your tears. Timothy, I remember the sincere faith that was in you, that was given to you, that was passed on from your parents and your grandparents. He says, I've been constantly thinking about you. That's verses 3, 4, and 5 in a nutshell. I'm constantly thinking about you. Then he says, and I love it in verse 6, and this is where we're going to stand the rest of the day. I've been thinking about you, Timothy, but now I want to remind you of something. I've been calling you into memory. Now I'm going to call some things into your memory. I'm going to cause you to remember some things. And these are things I've told you before, so we're going to review. So don't ever hate when you're sitting in a meeting or you're sitting in a congregation like this. You're like, oh, this is just a review. There's a reason. He's reminding him of these things. So some of this may jump out and say, well, we talked about this already. He's reminding him. And what does he say? Verse 6. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God that is in you. Fan into flame the gift of God that is in you. And this is first and foremost a reminder that Timothy has a gift. Let's not get all excited about the fire and the flame. Let's first stop. This is primarily a reminder that Timothy, you have been given a gift. You've been given a gift. And you say, well, what kind of gift? Was it a housewarming gift that Paul left him when he said, hey, I'm going to leave you in Ephesus for a while. He said, I don't really want to. Well, hey, here's some nice china. It'll set up in your house nice. He's not saying, listen, remember the gift I gave you? That's not china. Later on in verse 4, or chapter 4 in verse 13, he's asking Timothy, I'd like for you to come if you can. I want you to bring some books I left and a cloak I left with so-and-so. And most importantly, my parchments. Is that what he's talking about? Remember the gift that you have in you? Those parchments, you know what? You can have them. You know what? I'm going to die. It's not at all what he means. It's charisma is the word that's used there. Charismata in the Greek. It means an enablement of the Holy Spirit given for the edification of others. Or a divine grace given from the outside in. It's not a talent. Timothy, remember how talented you are. Remember how good you are at these, this, and this. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a gift, a charisma. Now, is this something only given to Paul and Timothy? Absolutely not. Is this something that was given to you and I as well? Do you and I have a gift, spiritual gifts? Absolutely. Absolutely. 1 Corinthians 12:7. It's listed in your notes. 1 Corinthians 12:7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. For what? For your own good, so that you can feel good? And no, it's for the common good. It's for the good of those around you. When we serve and we use our gifts, they're to do two things. Glorify God and edify others. Glorifying God and edifying others. You got Norma exercising her gift in teaching. It should be glorifying God and edifying others. Those kids around that table in that room. Whatever they do in the drama room, the crazy things that go on in there, glorifying God and edifying others. And I heard it was just boring in there today. Bored, stiff, not at all. Screaming and hollering. Now, this is not only a reminder that Timothy had a spiritual gift, but that a spiritual gift can die. It can go out. And that it can be revived. Amen. Fan into flame, that term means reviving a fire that has gone out. Isn't that powerful? He's speaking to Timothy, the pastor of the church. He's not talking about his belief in God. He's talking about the gift. That's what Paul's concerned about, the gift, not his belief in God, not his love for God, but it's the gift that he possesses, the spiritual gift. It's the manifestation. It's the visible part that Paul's concerned about. Paul had been receiving reports while he was in prison that Timothy had become discouraged. And then he needed to remind him not to neglect the gift. And why do you say remind? Well, in 1 Timothy 4:14, a letter he has already written to Timothy, he says then, do not neglect the gift that was in you. Don't neglect the gift that was given to you. So he's already telling him this, so it's natural that he says, I'm going to remind you of some things. Why is he saying that? Neglecting, to disregard. Timothy, don't disregard the gift. Don't reject it. Don't be careless. Don't ignore it. Don't regard it lightly, is what he's saying. This gift that's in you. The gift that's in us. Think for a moment. When we go through our times of greatest discouragement, the times that we are low, where it's tough, seasons of discouragement, we don't feel like exercising our gifts, do we? It's one of the primary things that kind of dissipates. The spark goes out of the eyes. Partly because we feel unused to be used by God. Secondly, because maybe we're even angry at Him and we don't care. Some of us have been there, many of us. Or you're just so emotionally exhausted. To even think about getting up and getting out into the game is just way too much. Timothy was at a low place. It's a discouraging place. He says, Timothy. Here's Paul, the spiritual dad, saying, Timothy, I've heard that the flame of your gift has gone out. Revive that fire of the gift that is in you. Revive it. See, some of us have been given a measure of faith, as Paul calls it in Romans. It's a deposit in us. Now, you don't understand it all. You may not even know what your gift is. You don't understand it. And I'd encourage you to just discover that. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. And you don't know how to embrace it. You don't know how to get it to be from a dormant to a raging fire. Some of you, it has just gone out over the years. And I've been in this church for 18 years now. Some of you have been here a lot longer, and most of you have not. And as I look around, I'm reminded of us in our condition. The ebb and flow of life as things hit us. And those of us that once burned brightly in our gift have gone cold. I've gone through seasons of it, and some of you are sitting in one. Disappointments, offenses come in, judgments, we form judgments, or it's just plain ignoring them. But this doesn't have to be the end of the story. This doesn't have to be the end of the story, and that's the point that he's making to Timothy. It's a reminder to Timothy. You have a gift. Stir it up. And the reminder to us is, you have a gift. Stir it up. Amen. Timothy, don't you dare go out this way. Don't you dare let your legacy be this. Stir it up. Fan to flame the gift of God that is in you. You have a gift, it's gone cold. Stir it up. See, you and I, we were not called to fade away. Our gift was not given to us to fade away, to extinguish, to decrease as we live on. Was it? You know, those of you that were here several weeks ago when I was on vacation, Dean shared a message, and I want to echo a piece of it, and maybe the whole crux of it was, how you respond in seasons of crisis, I think was his message, or discouragement. Are you coming to this place? How you respond, how you come out or don't come out affects those around you. Because we're corporate. When you came into the family, nobody warned you about it. No one told you about it, that you know what? Now you're part of a bigger body. Some of you need to hear it, that it's not about you. And some of you need to hear it, is we need you. So some of you maybe need to calm down a bit, and some of you need to come up a bit. Rich told me to put that in. Rich McClellan, I wasn't going to, but I said, it might hurt some feelings. He said, you need to say it, because, no, I'm kidding. But listen, he says, Timothy, don't you dare go out this way. And this is from a man imprisoned in prison. Jesus himself knocks him off a horse. Paul, now this is Saul, now this is the beginning of his call. Jesus himself shows up, knocks him off. He goes out into Arabia for 3 years, is taught by the Holy Spirit when he says in Colossians or early Galatians that, listen, this is not a gospel. This is not man-made, and no man taught it to me. As a matter of fact, he sent me out into Arabia, and I was taught by the Holy Spirit. Amen. The anointing of God taught me all of this. Can you imagine having that experience, and X amount of years later, you are in prison for the very message that this bright light gave you? Can you imagine the disappointment that Paul's working through? But his call from prison is, don't you dare go out this way. Because in a few weeks, we're going to read Paul's words saying, I have fought the fight. I have finished well. What are you talking about? Finishing well is having a big office. Finishing well, Paul, is like having like a lot of bishops under you. Having a big network, Paul. That's success. That's what Jesus meant when he appeared to you. That's the Jesus you serve, not the Jesus of the prison. Paul says, no, 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 I have finished well. See, that's the spirit of this age. It is said that we live in an upside down kingdom now, where things seem upside down. We should think about it. You have a gift, stir it up. Stir it up, no matter where you are. Stir it up. Because the cry in our hearts, and it's the Spirit calling out, is more. It's more. It says more in us. It says more in us. That there's more in us. There's more for us. There's more God wants to do through us. And Paul knows that because it's not actually going to be done through Paul himself, but from the sons that he's raised up. And for many of us, that's our legacy. And how you respond in despondency and in being discouraged will affect those that you're influencing. Imagine Paul collapsing. And who would blame him? How many times was he beat one lash from death? You know what, man, I'm just tired, Paul. Or Timothy, it's up to you now. Just, you know. Can you imagine Timothy going, well, if he's given up at the end of his life, like, this is really going to be worth it. I might as well go the other direction. And for many of us, I think people look at us and say, well, if that's where it's going to end up, why even follow them? So how do we stir up the gift? How does the gift get stirred up in us? A few suggestions, I think, from Paul. 1 Timothy 4:14, I already referred to this, but the context is, again, he's encouraging, don't neglect the gift that is in you. And he lists several things: exhortation, the public reading of Scripture. Well, that's kind of like what we do at church, but I don't like church. Paul tells Timothy, devote yourself, says Ethan, devote yourself to these things. That's 1 Timothy 4:14. So, find out what your gift is, those of you that don't know, and exercise it. do it. That's what the beauty of a context of this is. One of our 4 points for life groups is gifting. And as these life groups, and we're at the early stages of life groups, one of the fruits that we'll see come are people discovering their gifts and using them. But it happens in the context of community. You don't just go out on your own, decide what gift God may have given you, and then just go do it. Oh, there are those out doing that, and you've run across them. Hey, God has called me as this. It's just rebellion, basically. It's very easy to get into that. So in the context of this is where we discover it, mature it, and grow it. In life groups, namely. I went camping recently. We took girls camping and cash man camping. And we do a thing where we make foil dinners. You just throw a bunch of meat and veggies, and then you wrap it up with, and then you throw out like half a stick of butter in and wrap it up. And you take these foil dinners and you throw them on the fire or on a grate and it cooks them. It's awesome. But I love to do it, so I don't let anybody touch the process. So this is my dinner, right? You guys love it. So we have it 2 or 3 times while we're camping. But what we do is we get a fire going because the fire has to be kind of hot. And then I have to go in the trailer and like lay everything out. And I have a problem. And I just get really caught up in detail sometimes. And I get really, everything's got to be laid out. It takes me 3 times longer than it needs to make these foil dinners. So I start at 3 and we eat at like 6:30 or 7. But when I'm inside making them, powder, I peek out in the fire. I can't see it above the rim. Like, oh, the fire's going. Hey, Zoe, throw some wood on the fire. We got to keep the fire going. I was so annoyed by that the fire had to be kept tended to. But that's exactly what Paul's saying to Timothy. While you're out doing things, the fire will go out. Or while you're off doing something else, you're ignoring it, you're neglecting it, you're not regarding it, or you're lightly regarding the gift. Well, most people aren't exercising their gifts. The fire goes out. The image is reviving the fire that has gone out here. When you neglect the fire, it goes out. Now, again, this isn't about the love of God. This is about the gift that's in us. And we all have a gift. And some of you, that's news today. You're used to thinking talent. The gift, somewhat related sometimes, not all the time. But getting involved in ministry and hands-on, it so blessed me. It nearly brings me to tears to think about. When we laid out the children's vision, there was the unknown of whether God would provide those it would take to do it. And my gosh, I don't know, today we're still feeling our way through the children's ministry, but the people that we have in these rooms are on fire. The drama team, they're on fire, right? And it's the way it should be. Norma's in her gift. The Charlestons are back in the craft room, and Ryan and Jody are doing games, man. Like, what kid doesn't like Ryan Charleston? Like, for crying out loud. And all of those that are helping, it's fanning the flame. For some of them, the flame had died down. It had gone cold. But he is stoking it, and they're taking it and really going with it. That's thrilling to me. That's exactly what we're talking about here. Paul says in 1 Timothy 4:14, devote yourselves to these things, the reading of Scripture, prayer, exhortation. I'd say going to church. Well, you say, when I go to church and I leave, my fire's out. It's actually not higher. When I go to church, my fire goes out because I can't stand so-and-so, or I hate the fake this. I hate that. You're thinking of other churches, aren't you, that you may have went to? No, not here. This is hypothetical, Bob. But the very thing that will help stir us, compel us, and challenge us is the thing we want to avoid. Do you think it's just happenstance that those same thoughts go through your head every Sunday morning? I'll just watch it on TV. Or I'll just go somewhere, I'll go around. Because by traveling around, I want to hear what God's saying to the whole church of York. Many, 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 most times, you can hide that way. You don't have to be known. There's a realness of a fire and gifts in a local congregation that I refuse to give up on. We will experience that. And we are seeing it. And we're going to see a whole lot more of it. To be known, we're going to talk about that next week when he says about, we haven't given you a spirit of fear. An element of that is being known and risking being known. And we'll talk about that next week. It should be fun. But this week, it's about kindling that fire. And how many know when that gift, that fire in the fireplace is down, you can't just throw big logs on it. We think, I'll just go to a big conference and get jazzed up. I'll go do, you know, you wait for the big thing. But I have to chop up little tiny pieces of kindling, put it on, and then blow on it, blow on it. And that's what happens every Sunday morning here. That's what happens at life groups. And we call it fellowship. Now, hey, it ain't like, hey, how was the Penn State game yesterday? Hey, it was pretty cool. And it was. But that's not fellowship. Because I'll talk to my unsaved neighbors about that. There's an element of fellowship that's available for us because we share the same spirit. And that's, I bump up against Paul, and Paul's sharing with me about the Lord, and he's in prison visiting. He's not in prison, but he's visiting prisons. Somebody came to the Lord and like, ooh, that was a piece of kindling on my fire. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You hang around Marcy and Beth long enough and there's going to be kindling on your fire if you're into the drama and the arts. You know what I mean? It starts to well up. You can't do that watching TV. You think there's something burning in there, but it quickly goes out and you get disappointed and then, no, it's here. It's here. It's here. And I met with Pastor Aiden over at Pathway. It's there. It's happening in their congregation and other. It's the local church. That's exactly what Paul's telling. Timothy's dealing with a local church in Ephesus. Devote yourselves to these things. Oh my gosh, we've gone way over. Quickly. Not only do you have a gift and you can revive it and stir it up, Timothy, but I got to tell you, Timothy, how you got it. I want to remind you how you received your gift. Verse 6. In which you received, and which is in you, this gift that's in you, through the laying on of my hands. How did he just say that happened? Well, I went and looked at it in the original languages. I've got to understand this a bit. And when you break it down in the original languages, it reads this way. For this reason that I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you, because of the laying on of my hands. There is a spiritual gift in this young man because of laying on of hands. It's called impartation. That's our fancy word that we use. But it literally can be summed up in this way, and I think this is in your notes, that listen, Timothy, I have to remind you that hands are forgiving. Hands are forgiving. Do you have hands? Did you look at them? Hands are forgiving. Satan distorted this from the very beginning when he asked Adam and Eve to take the fruit. They took with their hands. Cain went out shortly afterwards and took the life of his brother with his hands. Jesus shows up and touches people and they're healed. He takes bread, breaks it, and hands it and gives it to his disciples. People reach out and touch his clothes with their hands, and he gives them healing. He stretches out his hands, and they put nails through them, and we have atonement. He gave himself through his hands. Hands are forgiving. Romans 1:11, do I put that in your notes? Yeah, Romans 1:11 says, Paul says, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. I long to see you, to impart spiritual gifts to you. We see that the laying on of hands in the Old Testament was done to transfer guilt to the sacrifices. We see the apostles laying hands, they're imparting healing, spiritual gifts, baptism of the Holy Spirit, ordination, all through the laying on of hands. It didn't always happen that way, but it did in a significant, and we ought to pay attention to the pattern. It's significant enough to notice and say, wow, there's something to this. It's pretty true. So, and when we lay hands on one another, a lot of times you come up for prayer, maybe you're new and you're wondering, what is this all about? When they lay, why do they put their hands on me? These truths are at the foundation of it, hopefully, if it's a life-giving touch. That there's a transference, there's an impartation that happens through hands. It's undeniable in the New Testament. And we've got to remember when we lay hands on one another that it's first God who gave us something to pass on. See, it starts with Him. It starts with God. And we pass it on. It comes from Him, through us, to others. That's the whole pattern. Healing, gifts, finances, from God, all giving has to come from the beginning place of that God has been generous to us. Healing, it isn't you or me, it's God. Gifts. So Timothy, City View, fan into flame the gift that is in you through the laying on of my hands. I remember it was October 11th. 18 years ago that I walked into this church. Young man, thought I knew a lot. And I was met at the front of the church. It was an evening service. And someone said, you know what, there's some folks here that are dealing with, or this week they're looking to make a big decision in their life. And we just like to pray for you. I said, well, I've never been here, but I'm about to make a big decision in my life. So I walked up front. And Gary Mummer, Melvin Mattson, and Pastor Barry and Sandy met me there, and they prayed. And there was impartation that day of things in hell that I would go through, Gary, thank you. That it was a good word, and Melvin, it was glorious words, but there's process in all of that. And many, many times through these 18 years that you just want to give up, don't you? On this, you know, is this just me? I'm glad I didn't. And I'm glad you didn't. I'm glad my wife didn't. She hasn't yet. Well, no, she's in the nursery, actually. Not yet. So far, so good, Bill. But to me, to you, you have a gift. You've been given a gift. Some of you have had hands laid on you. God does give you gifts without laying hands too. Stir them up. Let's stir them up together with one another and before God. Because we are many members of one body. One of you is not glowing hot, we will feel it. We won't know what's wrong, but we'll feel it in our spirits in this place. That should be an encouragement. I don't want that to be a guilt thing. But it's like that. It's like, man, what's wrong? Instead of that, saying, well, what's wrong? Who needs encouraged? Who needs a piece of kindling on them? Who doesn't need hit with the log, but who needs a little kindling put on them? Like we love to wield the bat, don't we, Ryan? I mean, not you, but you and I, we do. Who needs kindling thrown on their fire? Come on, come on. We need you. Amen. As a response to this, oh, I love verse 7. I wanted to preach verse 7, but we'll get that next week. as a response to this reminder to us all. I love how Scripture meets us where we've been, where we are, and where we will be. The ups and downs of doing family and life together in this community is extremely difficult. That's why he says, be filled with the Spirit continually. You will not survive in the kingdom, in the flesh, for very long. So as a reminder, and as a response to the reminder, I want us to draw together to the Lord's table in communion. Because it is at this table, and it is at a table with his disciples, his most dear family, that Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And we're into remembering today. And then from there, we go to remind others, don't we?